It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. The show is also available as a podcast. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Our producer for today with the Pac-Man head.
That's right.
Not being the thug football player Adam Jones.
Nope.
Who's with Dallas? Is he with Dallas now? I think he is.
I don't know.
Because if you have a record, you either sign with Dallas or Cincy. Anyway, Kobe Slagle working the board.
I'm the Pac-Man.
I wouldn't brag about that. And sitting in with me, a woman who knows my fine line between stupid and clever, actress Jolene Menting Moffitt.
Hello.
How are you, dear?
I'm excellent, thank you.
She is in a production of Kitchen Witches, which is going out of the theater on the square. She took time off of her prep work to come hang out here before coming out to the show tonight, and it's running through November 13th.
That's right.
And it's Halloween weekend, so be safe. Be safe.
Wear reflective clothing.
That's true. and don't put any sharp objects in anything. Kobe, your candy of choice?
Oh, man. Well, what are we talking? Are we talking chocolate? Are we talking, like, sour stuff?
Candy of choice.
Candy bar or any...
Candy of choice. How hard is this question?
It's real hard because there's a lot of, you know.
Okay, all right. There's a knock at the door, and it's Claire Robinson, and you're only allowed one treat out of her basket. And I mean by a basket. What is it going to be?
Is it that hard, really?
Yeah, it really is, because I don't know if I want to go. I don't know if I want to go Payday. I don't know if I want to go Three Musketeers.
You pondered that.
I don't know if I want to go Kit Kat.
You pondered that.
No,
I'll go to my guest.
Sweet Tarts. I'm a fun size Snickers bar girl myself, or Milk Duds. Ooh.
See, those are good, but I feel like I've had that. I mean, I've been eating those for like, what, 22 years.
And so, we have too, only longer.
Speak for yourself.
I resemble that remark. I know. So,
but great. You know what the most underrated candy bar is?
This should be good. What?
Butterfinger.
Oh no, that's
how is that
underrated?
It's
because you never hear sake. Because you never hear anybody talk. Oh man, I want a Butterfinger. Butterfinger's
yes,
so good.
Do.
Butterfinger's the best thing in the
world.
When
was the last time you were at a Dairy Queen?
I don't
even
know.
Even McDonald's, I think, has one of those McFlurries out of Butterfingers.
They're
everywhere, dude.
All I'm saying is, I don't hear people freaking out about how good Butterfingers are.
Well, you know why? Because they're not underwriters of the show. I'll tell you an underrated one. Well, you hear about Munch.
Munch?
Remember Munch?
I do remember Munch. Like a hard peanut bar, right?
Basically peanut brittle.
Going off the
without snakes coming out as you open it up.
have you ever had a Zagnut bar?
I have had Zagnuts.
It's like, yeah. Oh,
I
so
love
good.
Zagnuts.
That's the kind of half cousin of the Butterfinger.
Exactly.
It's
only
crispy.
Where it's yeah.
No chocolate, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Where Butterfinger's chocolate, this is coconut.
Exactly right. Sometimes. How about Mallow cups? Remember those?
Do they still make those?
I think you get them in places like Cracker Barrel.
Where they have these 70s candy.
Exactly right, where they have all that old-fashioned candy.
Maple creams.
Exactly right. And goo-goo pies or whatever those are. Moon pies.
Yeah, you get those down south, definitely.
Oh, those are good, too. Moon pies are awesome.
Yeah. I'm not a moon pie girl.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll have to work on that.
I know. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Well, we were talking off-air about not that.
Okay.
No, of certain candies, I made the argument with Circus Peanuts.
I love Circus Peanuts.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You like orange chalk?
You're the only person I know in my whole life.
I love circus peanuts.
Do you have an upset stomach and you just
down? Oh, my goodness. I don't care what anybody says. I love circus peanuts.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you
enough.
Like them stale or fresh?
No. Yeah, you got to be fresh.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
You ever thrown a stale marshmallow against some bricks?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we start the show? Yeah. We'll continue the candy talk
later?
Near the end, maybe.
All right.
I was just... You've befuddled me, young producer. And by the way, we'll get to a segment of what is Kobe watching a little later on, the non-scary edition.
I don't like scary things.
What are you doing producing the show?
Hi-oh!
That's right. All right, opening in theaters today is the third and final installment of a very popular film series based on a very popular novel. It's The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, or as I accidentally wrote on my call sheet, The Hornet's Next, which is something else. But this is a film that's really taken audiences by storm here in America all of 2010, with Noomi Freikberg, who plays everyone's favorite goth-looking computer hacker who's gone through quite a bit in these three films, is almost 7 hours of angst. And Michael Nyqvist, who plays a disgraced, now redeemed journalist who helps her out in the case. Now, to catch up with people, first film, which was the girl with the dragon tattoo, and the hacker and the journalist team up to solve an old murder in Girl Who Played With Fire, which came out on DVD this week. They work with each other to expose a sex trafficking ring while she is accused of murder. And in this film, everything comes into a conclusion, including a court case and evidence and people all trying to get the young girl out of the picture. Here's some audio.
This year, the unmissable final chapter of the most talked-about cinematic event is finally here. Based on the international bestseller by Stieg Larsson, the full-blown literary and movie phenomenon of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo will be concluded.
Now, I'm going to say don't start with this film. Obviously, the first two films are now on DVD and Blu-ray, and obviously start going through these in order. These are not sequels in which you can just pick up easily on what's transpired. I really, really enjoyed the first film. And the second film, Girl Who Played With Fire, was a bit of a step down. But usually we call those stepping stone films, like Dark Knight, Empire Strikes Back, pictures like that, Godfather 2. Yes. And, hopefully going to get things ending with a bang in The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. Not exactly. And there's a couple things to have going against it. One, the film is almost 2.5 hours, which is okay, except there's a lot of time in the hospital with her character that probably could have been cut considerably. And also the fact that this has not one, but two film cliches near the end that you just wanted to wrap up quickly. One is the courtroom scene. We all love courtroom scenes, right, Jolene?
Yeah.
That way, if you're a lawyer or you're on the witness stand, you get a great monologue.
Right.
Not in this case. But there's also a film with a conclusion that takes place in an empty warehouse.
Oh, God.
My guest's eyes roll as you can hear that. See, it's cliches. They're not just for American cinema anymore. They're also happening in Sweden.
So now, are there three novels?
There's three novels.
Okay, have you read the books?
No, I don't.
You don't read? Okay.
I just wondered. It's not book sociology. Thanks a lot, Lynn.
Okay, you're right.
Thank you, Lynn.
Well,
this is in my contract. I'm able to be surrounded by smart women at all times. And since my wife can't be here, you're here. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
But I I wanted to follow it along because I really enjoyed the two characters who had just bizarre, interesting chemistry in the first film, and they're kind of drifted apart, not as much screen time together in the second film, and not enough in this one. Yeah. So it's a bit of a letdown, but I would still watch it from the beginning and see what you think, and especially now, American audiences, that they're remaking this film. I don't know if it's the entire series, but I know they're remaking the first film next year. And unknown as the girl, Daniel Craig as the reporter. And don't you wish all journalists look like Daniel Craig?
Yeah,
gang.
But why? Why are they remaking it?
Well,
I don't understand that.
Because people in this, not this part of the country. Well, yes, part of this country. Some folks don't like to read when they go to the movies.
Yes.
How many foreign films have been remade by Hollywood over the years? Endless.
Yeah.
Endless. Because people don't like to read subtitles. Nobody in this studio and listening, of course.
Mm-hmm. My dad likes to read subtitles, but my mom doesn't.
Really?
Well, I'm not going to berate your mother.
Okay.
So I've not even met Ms.
So, but usually when they remake foreign films, they rename them something bizarre
but
and unrelated.
I think these are going to be. However, the director of the American remake intrigues me. It's David Fincher.
Really?
Yes. Who right now has, of course, made for me the best film of 2010, which is The Social Network. So the fact that you have a really good director and an interesting lead, I assume this will be the disheveled Daniel Craig as opposed to coming out of the beach Daniel Craig.
Right,
steady
right.
Over there. I'll see. Well, I guess I'll give it half a shot because of the director and the cast. And the fact that they did go with an unknown, because I know every actress under the age of 30 really wanted to play this role. So anyway, check out the original because, well, I'm asking you to. And see if you agree with me. It just kind of trickles down with each film.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Okay, we got a few other notes. Saw 3D open, not screened for the press. That's great. Let's move on. Also, tonight, if you don't have any plans tonight at the IMA at the Toby Theater at 7 o'clock, Bride of Frankenstein, Elsa Lanchester. And it's going to be hosted by Lou Harry, who's been at this table many, many times over the years. And Jolene, you got a piece of theatrical news that mixes...
Yes.
Theater and classic zombie cinema.
Absolutely.
Share it with us.
The fundraiser for Footlight Musicals Theater at, 19th in Alabama? Is that
something
right?
Like that.
They are doing tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night at midnight a theatrical version of Night of the Living Dead.
The original George A. Romero, not the Tom Savini remake from 1985.
It's got a great cast.
Yeah, some local favorites, right?
Yes, absolutely. Sam Fain, Paul Hanson, directed by Brian Nofke. I've seen pictures. It looks really good. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. What a great thing to do on a Halloween weekend. And it's a fundraiser.
Exactly. So you have to do that. So they're coming to get you, Barbara.
Right.
So you can go check that out. Okay, I think we'll take a short break and we'll talk about what is new and what is old on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good? Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. And I'm also on Facebook. Jolene Mentig-Moffat is sitting in with me of Kitchen Witches fame at Theater on the Square, which is running through November 13th. It's famous already.
It is. Hey, we're selling out.
That's good, especially
in this
time. You
need to make reservations right away.
There you go. And Kobe Slagle, all right, let's try this.
What?
One chocolate, one non-chocolate.
Okay. Gosh. Oh, jeez.
Haven't you been thinking about this?
No.
You knew he was going to come back at you.
Yeah. Well.
You heard her.
Man. One chocolate.
Yes. What part did I stutter?
One chocolate. I'm going to go. Oh, man. But see, there's the Butterfingers and the.
God.
I think I'm going to go Three Musketeer.
Three Musketeer.
Okay. All right.
One chocolate.
Okay. All right.
Unless you got a.
No,
like,
there's no unless. It's Three Musketeers.
Okay. We're talking. Are we talking exclusively fun size things?
No.
Or can we.
No, you can have the because, full
okay.
king size bar.
Yeah.
What are you going to Noblesville for trick or treating? What is this?
Okay, if we're going fun size exclusively, I want a Three Musketeers. If we can do like the full size bar, I want a Hershey's Symphony bar because I like crunch in my chocolate.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That's where it's at.
And non-chocolate?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Cherry licorice?
No.
Sweet tart?
No.
Jolly Rancher? What are those Willy
Tootsie
Wonka
Pops?
Things?
Everlasting
Gobstoppers.
Yeah,
thank
you. Christina had some of those in her office, and we tried to muscle our way through those, and that's just a pain. Those
muscle
just,
your way through those?
Well, they're like just.
It was like it was a mixed bag.
You make it sound like digging ditch.
Ooh, butterscotch.
It was because we got through like everything else. Like there's like Nerds and Laffy Taffy and all kinds of stuff in there, and then
Pop
like,
Rocks?
The Gobstoppers were left.
Pop Rocks.
Do you know?
What's that?
I know what they are.
It was even better.
Fun dip.
That's sugar.
That's
sugar. I don't want to. It's sugar with a stick. That's what it is. My gosh. No, I saw. Who does that?
How about those little wax bottles of liquid?
Oh,
remember those?
Yeah,
what were
those? Those got me too wound up. more wound up than I already am. No, I saw. Who is it? Somebody. Oh, our favorite chef. On Food Network, who put Pop Rocks on creme brulee.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I think that's worth trying.
Did you do it?
No, not yet.
Well, I think
it's worth trying just because she did it.
Well, yeah, but
sure.
That's a, but the problem is Mrs. Sosie is going to know where'd you get this crazy idea from of television.
I thought
I was in the studio today and I was just thinking about some things. And...
Yeah, that's how. That's why I'm married to her and you're not, man. All right, we already talked a little bit about The Girl Who Played with Fire, so we're going to jump ahead to a film. That, you know, I have to give kudos to the Criterion Collection, which is, of course, the organization that puts out just some of the best DVD and Blu-rays of films of all various kinds and flavors and decades. And Kobe, we have no trailer for this, I assume? This was my cue to have you go
for
Paths of Glory.
Oh, Paths of Glory.
Yes, where I just said we're going to skip Girl Who Played with Fire since I already sort of reviewed it.
What do you,
It's
I'm
better.
Looking at Winter's Bone here.
Oh, jeez. You know what? This is why you're producing and I'm the host. Why don't you look for that one then while you're so smart?
I got it. I'm ready. I am locked.
We are organized
loaded.
Today. You know what? It's too many children in the building. That's what
it is.
That's
true.
Brings everything down.
Goblin children, no less.
Yeah. Hobgoblins. Not in this room. But new on DVD and Blu-ray this week is right now. I know we still got 2 months to go before Grown Up Movies to come, but this is the film that probably will make my top 10 this year. It's the Ozark noir drama Winter's Bone. And play the audio.
Way down in Missouri where I heard this melody, the old folks were humming, the banjos were strumming so sweet and low.
Mike Satterfield, A1 Bonds.
What is it you want?
We hold the bond on Jessup Dolly. He didn't show for court.
That ain't no run.
Jessup signed over everything. If he doesn't show at trial, see, the way the deal works is y'all gonna lose his house here. You got some place to go?
I'll find him.
Girl, I've been looking.
I said I'll find him. You see, the law was out here hunting Jessup. You know where he's at? I wouldn't tell him nothing if I did. I really gotta run Dad down to get him to show.
You ought not do that.
Dad's your only brother.
I don't know where he's at, and I ain't gonna go around asking after him neither.
Who might you be?
I'm Ree. My dad's Jessup Dolly.
You ain't here for trouble, are you?
I got a real bad need to talk to him.
Falcon just calls his witnesses.
How long before we get kicked off our own property?
I reckon y'all got this place about another week.
The law found Jessup's car. Somebody set fire to it. He wasn't in it.
Do you know those people going around saying you best shut up? People you want to listen to.
Get out of the truck. Put your hands where I can see them.
Is this going to be our time?
There's stuff that you're going to have to get over being scared of. Get off!
Don't hurt my sister! Get in the house!
She was warned, and you wouldn't listen. Why didn't you listen?
And writer-director Deborah Granck, I hope I'm saying that right. Obviously, I'm hoping, grew up in Missouri, or Missouri, depending on what part of the state you're in, gives you what I now call Ozark Noir. It's a teenage girl whose father was released from jail and didn't tell the family that he put the house up for bond. And if he doesn't show up in court, they're going to lose the house. Great. So she has to run through the meth hills of Ozark, Missouri to try to find his dad. And it just gets deeper and deeper and nastier and nastier.
Is it at the movie stores?
It's on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Okay.
And the girl, this is a star-making performance. It's Jennifer Lawrence who plays the teenage girl. And I checked to see if she had done anything else prior to this because it reminded me of Carrie Mulligan last year in An Education. This, who are you? Where did you come from?
You're terrific.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I checked, and her two noted credits prior to this, one was The Burning Plain, which was the ensemble drama with Kim Basinger and Charlize Theron that I don't think played here. And she was also a daughter on the Bill Ingvall show.
Oh, my God.
Because this girl equals Bill Ingvall plus Nancy Travis.
Oh.
And let's not talk about, well, we can talk about bizarre husbands with great wives. Not right now.
Not right now.
So anyway, kudos to Jennifer Lawrence. She really carries the picture, and it's quite a load for this character who has to just traipse through, instead of the dingy streets of whatever city, through the backwoods. And no, it's not Deliverance, but it could see where Deliverance Hill is. Mm, so definitely goes.
And it, sounds intriguing.
I have to give it. I have to give the film viewing credit viewers around here credit. This thing played in Indy for a couple of months, which is kind of unheard of, especially in the art cinema world. This was not a film that opened in the 3,000 theaters, and hopefully more people will check this out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now, as I alluded to earlier, before I was wrong in my outline that I wrote, the Criterion Collection. Don't sigh at me, Kobe. You know, I could change these movies I'm going to give you. Yeah, that's what I thought. The Criterion Collection, which puts out all the just wonderful DVD, Blu-ray releases of some of the finest and most obscure films. This time around, getting the treatment is the Stanley Kubrick war drama Paths of Glory from 1961. It's with Kirk Douglas, Ralph Meeker, and Adolph Manjou.
You
like me to suggest what you can do with that promotion. Colonel Dax! You will apologize at once or I shall be placed under arrest. I apologize for not being entirely honest with you. I apologize for not revealing my true feelings. I apologize, sir, for not telling you sooner that you're a degenerate, sadistic old man. And you can go to hell before I apologize to you now or ever again.
Since the publication of the book 25 years ago, no one dared to make this movie. It was too shocking, too frank.
What sort of casualties do you anticipate, sir?
Say 5% killed by our own barrage. It's a very generous allowance. 10% more in danger of no man's land, and 20% more getting to the wire. That leaves 65%, with the worst part of the job over. Let's say another 25% in actually taking the anthill. We're still left with a force more than adequate to hold it.
General, you're saying that more than half my men will be killed.
Aside from the inescapable fact that a good many of your men never left the trenches, there's the question of the troops' morale. Don't forget that.
The troops' morale?
Certainly. These executions will be a perfect tonic for the entire division. There are few things more fundamentally encouraging and stimulating than seeing someone else die.
Where in heaven's name are they?
On the left.
Where are they? He will put one in us through the trenches. They're not advancing. Miserable cowards. They're not advancing. The barrage is getting away from them. They're still in the trenches.
Yes.
Captain Nichols.
Yes, sir?
Order 75 to commence firing in our own position.
This film is a lot more than just explosions and
really?
Kurt Douglas screaming at you.
I don't believe you.
What do you mean you don't believe me?
I didn't hear anything but that.
Oh, that's... Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the trailer. It's just 2.5 minutes over a night. Just give me the look.
Okay.
It's... All right. This was the film that really put Stanley Kubrick on the map. He had already done a small little New York crime drama called Killer's Kiss, which is also available on Blu-ray. I might inflict that on you sometime soon, Mr. Slagle. But this is, of course, set in World War I France. Kirk Douglas is fighting with his superiors who want to put some of his soldiers up on charge of cowardice over basically what was an impossible mission. Not Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. And this turned out at that time to be one of the better anti-war films. And this is 1958. So this was before Vietnam, and it got revisited many, many times by the late 60s, early 70s. And because of this film, when the original director of Spartacus was fired, Kirk Douglas, who was a producer, said, bring in Stanley Kubrick. Mm. How else would Stanley Kubrick be involved with a film like Spartacus?
Wow, I did not know that.
That's why you're here,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I'm here, among
mm-hmm.
other things. But always fun to hear intense Kirk Douglas. I always, when I think of Kirk Douglas, I think, well, you know, his daughter-in-law is really great. And secondly... Am I wrong? And secondly, freshman year at Ball State, somebody put on their door a ballot, a shoebox ballot, and had a little angry face here and a little angry face there, and it had famous lines of dialogue from their films. And the question was, who was angrier, Kirk Douglas or George C. Scott?
Who won?
I don't know. I should have checked on that, but that's two very valid candidates.
Oh, it's so true. That's awesome.
And with the Criterion, you get commentaries. So there's a film historian commentary as well as behind the scenes, because I'm one of those. If I'm going to plunk down $40, because they won't send them to me, then I'm going to get my money's worth out of this. So this is a really good film to revisit. And it's interesting, this was, of course, before Kubrick became the auteur that he became in the late 60s with films like, of course, 2001, Clockwork Orange. All of those have that very Lyndon has a very distinct look A lot of those great wide screen shots. And there's some of those in there. It's nice seeing little hints of that. And you see that a little bit more in Spartacus. But it really kicks in, of course, with 2001. So bravo to Criterion for putting this out. Go find it.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, got a couple other titles to throw at you that are on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Wild Grass, which was the French film of two separate lives that, of course, wind up intertwining within the last 10 minutes. It's okay. Because it's Halloween, Maniac, for you early 80s slasher film fans out there. Thank you. Summer and Smoke.
Oh, that's fun.
I believe that was Geraldine Page who did the film version.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So one of the fine performances there. And Santa Claus the Movie, which, of course, was brought up in the My Year of Flops book. You didn't see that.
Wait a minute.
Who's in Santa Claus the Movie?
This was from the early 80s with Dudley Moore and John Lithgow.
Oh.
Okay. I'm thinking of Tim Allen.
Not the Santa Claus. Santa Claus the Movie.
I love John Lithgow. Why did he every once in a while just do those?
Because, you know what? It's always like, you always see a film where somebody is doing a big budget film like that, and then they do a small independent picture. You think of people like John Cassavetes, Billy Bob Thornton, to a certain degree, I guess, even Ben Affleck, so he could direct. And then there are some people that, I guess, they will do a big film like that so they could go do a play somewhere else, like on Broadway. So I'm trying to remember, did Lithgow did Equus, maybe?
Must have, right around that time.
Or Madame Butterfly in the mid-80s, something like that.
Yeah.
Because this was one of his bigger films after he got the nomination for World According to Garp, which was 82. And he kind of got typecast as villains and oddballs throughout the rest of the decade until, he really cashed it in with Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
So I guess you make an occasional silly film like that so you can go do something of substance on Broadway, which of course we don't get to see.
No.
We get to see that. And speaking of truly terrifying films, Sex and the City 2. Let's move on. No, let's move on. I had to sit through the first one. My wife doesn't want to.
Oh, now, come on. The first one wasn't so bad.
Okay, you didn't have the experience that I had with it.
No, probably not.
Are you ready for this?
I think so.
Okay, first off, little inside of the film world. Normally, screenings for films are 7:30. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're 7.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they made this film at 9:00.
Ooh, wow.
I think so people could get a few Cosmos in them before they go.
Of course.
Yep. Right. And it's a late night. It's a girls' night out. Good. Now, on top of that, before the movie started, there was a 30-minute red carpet interview with the entire cast, moderated by, I forget what his name is. He's the fashion consultant that looks like the gay Steven Tyler that's on the Today Show.
Yes.
Yeah, him. Who, and when he's declaring this a better film than Citizen Kane.
Mm.
And then a 2-hour and 15-minute episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So it was like, 11:30, 12 before I got home?
See, I didn't see it in the movie theater. I saw it at home with some Cosmos. So
of course you did.
so
you
enjoyed it.
But did you watch the series?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all
right.
Did you see the second one?
No, I chose not to see the
second
one.
Wow, okay. So because there was quite a bit of backlash,
even
with the fan
base. You know what I mean? Okay, the movie, we're done now.
You're ready to move on.
Let's go on and, yeah.
Okay, there you go. So, see, I'm not crazy.
No.
It just really left a bad taste.
Everybody said it was just horrific.
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. No, we won't see. I'll ask, because that's one of those films, I'm not going to make you watch that.
Oh, no.
Unless
irritate
me.
No.
So, that's out on DVD and Blu-ray. And I got a feeling we'll be seeing like dozens of copies of those in half-price books within the next couple of weeks.
Great.
All right. We are going to take a short break, and we're going to talk Kitchen Witches. You're listening and enjoying, hopefully, Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Thank you. We're not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Soucy. If you like the... If you like this, go to WFYI.org. You can listen to it as a podcast. You can have a question or a comment. You can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Colby Slagle is working the board. Jolene Menting Moffitt, who is in Kitchen Witches at Theater on the Square, is with us. How are you, dear?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
And the show is running. How many nights a week is it running?
It's Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 5. Mm-hmm. It's on their second stage, so it's an intimate gathering of about 56 people that can get in the room.
And it's running through November 13th.
November 13th closes on a Saturday night. That's right.
Wow, 5 o'clock on so
5 o'clock. Those it's who have an no
children, those who have no children, will be there.
Yeah, yeah. Although you know, you could go home. Yeah, I would say it's probably PG-13, maybe. There are no F bombs or anything, but there's a little sexual innuendo.
Oh, is it because Ron's not there?
Yeah, yeah. There's no naked.
We kid you, Ron. We love you.
People either, but
so tell us about Kitchen Witches.
It is about two women who are cable access. You know, kind of NPR-ish cooking show hostesses, and they have this huge rivalry, and they're thrown together to do a show together, and, you know, mayhem ensues, and we find out why they hate each other, and it all comes together at the end.
I see.
There's a line in the play where the wife of the producer, or the station director, says that it's better than her favorite shows, which are Martha Stewart and Jerry Springer. So it's kind of a Martha Stewart meets Jerry Springer kind of a show.
Hopefully you didn't have to watch either one for research.
No, I did not. No, I did not.
I've seen the ad campaign, and I wasn't sure if it was truly witches or...
Yeah, no,
witches
not
that.
Truly witches.
But no, it's fine, because there was going to be that very wonderful odd pantheon, because there was the summer of 2008... where three of my favorite ladies in the world played witches. Mm. Michelle Pfeiffer in Stardust, Susan Sarandon in Enchanted, and Lynn at Beef and Boards in Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's right. That's awesome.
Or I remember when she got the role, oh my God, I have to be green. So
no, but I do get to cook. I use a very sharp knife to chop vegetables, beets, and carrots, and onions. And
are you Benny Hot in any of these?
I amaze and fascinate people with my
with your kitchen prowess.
Yes, exactly.
So now, how much kitchen? You did a lot of cooking at home before this, and did you do any of this research?
I do
training?
Like to cook, actually, and no, I didn't. I there's a fellow actor here in town who's in chef school right now, Chuck.
Yes, Chuck Goad.
I kidded him about how he needed to teach me how to use a knife correctly, because you know there is a way to use it, but he never did give me lessons, so I hold my own. And it is Theater on the Square, so we're not actually cooking, we're pretending to cook.
No,
I know, it's not realistic
theater.
No,
if Sinise was there, you guys would be cooking, you'd be braising and marinating, you put a brine in,
absolutely,
and play would last 12 hours.
Oh, God. Actually, no, speaking of time, this is a very nice short play. We're out of there by, it's about an hour 45, including intermission.
Wow.
So it's a really nice, fun, light evening. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's good.
Yeah.
Because it seems like I last time you were here was Enchanted April.
That's right.
And then you have a lot of intense shows that I've noticed in your resume. So it's nice to see something light and airy and fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
And you're light and airy and fun. I know when you got to play the dour lady in Enchanted April.
Yes,
so
that was really fun.
I bet it was. Well, yeah, you just take it and run with it, of course.
Right, exactly. So yeah, that was fun. So this is fun too. Karen Fry is in it with me.
Ah, yes.
And a man named Gray Lassane, who I think this is his Indianapolis theater debut, and he's wonderful.
Wow, way to break him in.
I know. And then Davey Pelz, Sue, I think is how you say his name. He's a local musician, and he's just recently gotten back into theater after a break because he's been touring with his band and stuff.
Sure.
So, and he's great too. So it's really fun. It's a small cast, unit set, It's great fun. You need to come see it.
We'll have to work on that. Okay. I would like that. Now, had you watched any cooking shows prior to this?
No, but I do like those cooking shows.
Me too.
I'm not a big Food Network person. I know you do.
Shut up, Cody. No, and not just because of that. It's true. I learned my lesson when I was watching Giada De Laurentiis and Lynn walked by going, what's she cooking, Matt? Something with fish. Yeah, I pay attention to recipes.
It's fun, though, isn't
and I read
it?
The because magazine it, for the articles, too, smart guy.
Think of different combinations of things that you never would have thought of before. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've made a lot of Christmas presents based on stuff I've seen. On those
really?
Cookies. Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. It's fun. People like to get that kind of stuff. You know, like spiced nuts or whatever, you know, something fun like that.
Deep-fried turducken.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I want to get into?
Oh, gosh. Bad things could happen.
There was an ad at the brewery for a chocolate and beer thing.
Oh yeah, that's a great combination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about this.
Well, you get some chocolate and you get like a stout, like a dark beer.
Yeah.
You know, something that puts hair on your feet, and they work really well together. In fact, by the way, if I had one treat at my door, best chocolate in town.
I don't care. I was gonna. I almost went there.
I don't care so if they're good. Not wrapped. I'll take a chance.
Oh,
I know Elizabeth. I'll take a chance on those truffles.
Okay,
she knows what she's doing.
What from there?
Ooh, I like the rosemary.
I'm gonna go with the pepper. I like the red.
Pepper.
Oh
yeah, I like you too.
And the ginger wasabi.
Good,
I mean, I do like the sweet ones. You know, your mints and I do like the rosemarys and the cinnamons and all that. But there's something about sweet and hot that, especially with those two, that I really really like. But what they do have there, and I got it last week, they have a Sun King Stout truffle.
Ooh, really?
Yes,
what?
They do.
That's new.
Along with a pumpkin and a caramel apple because of the season.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think you're gonna,
oh, good Lord.
We're going to have to go fill our growlers
that
and,
fun.
And
Boy,
head
that
over
Sun
there.
King beer is good, isn't it?
Yes.
I agree.
We need them to underwrite the show.
Yeah you know what else chocolate is good in is chili.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
The sweet
what?
Meat.
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard that?
No.
You put a bar of dark chocolate in your
I've eaten more chili
cooking?
In the last month than I have in my entire life.
No,
really?
she's right.
Oh, yeah.
You get a little, it helps break up it so it's not hot, 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 hot the whole time.
Just
get a little bit of cinnamon, too.
Right, a little bit of cinnamon.
See, it's not just drooling over the top heavy host, huh? Yeah.
You let it fool you. That's exactly what it is.
Just because, you know, they haven't made a calendar and Hef won't return their call, or vice versa. Oh, tell me you haven't thought about Women of the Food Network.
Oh, man.
Yeah, plant that in your psyche.
I just want.
Don't finish that sentence.
Okay.
I just want a Pam Grier-like calendar.
That can be arranged,
man.
Not by me, but
you could.
Somebody got introduced to Jackie Brown a few weeks ago and fell in love with Pam Grier.
Sure, well,
why wouldn't you?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Another thing. I'm tired of all this. Oh, I saw her first. Well, yeah, because
I'm older than you.
That's not fair.
Okay, I take it back. I take it back because I did that with Claire, and I did that with Giada, and I did that with Pam.
Yeah, and
it's
like
true.
Everybody else, and Faye Dunaway, and
that's right, that's right. I forgot you like Faye Dunaway too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even I forget like the list of. Oh hey yeah you need to Google
oh,
them.
Oh yeah, when we're on the show the boy Google images.
Oh.
Because you'll be talking about
somebody. It's work related.
Yeah.
So he's learning all kinds of things from you.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's frightening. It's frightening me.
Oh my! No, no, no. So, have you seen anything lately, Julie?
Have I seen? Okay,
any new, old doesn't matter.
Here's the deal.
Yes,
I have a 10-year-old, and most importantly, I have a 3-year-old.
Ooh.
So
what have they been watching recently?
We do a lot of Monsters versus Aliens, and although we did see Toy Story 3, which have you seen it?
Nope.
Did you see it?
I did.
It was awesome.
Not seen it. I haven't seen two.
Am I right?
Comes out on DVD. I think it's
the
weakest of the three.
The number three is the weakest?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I do.
Really?
Now, I still enjoyed it. I still had a lump in my throat the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, come on.
But I
think you just need to see it more than once. Just like the other two. You've seen the other two 50 billion times.
Well, it comes
out
on DVD and Blu-ray next week.
Oh, my God.
And guess whose birthday is the fifth?
Whose?
the kids film correspondent of film sociology. So yeah,
Sam's is the third. I'll be singing it again. There you go.
Oh my gosh, that's a luncheon right there.
Exactly.
So no, I enjoyed the first two. I wondered why they made a three. Did you need to really make a three? And I'm glad that they did. It was really even darker than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, see, that's why I liked it.
I see.
It was a nice ending. And they actually ended it. You know what I mean? There might be another.
Yeah, I'll give them that credit. But, you know, Ned Beatty's scary as hell. Well, his voice is scary as hell in that one. It's a nice.
I really liked it.
Okay. No, I did too. Just not as much as you did. But
right.
I still. Because, the other measure was I didn't cry as hard at this. At the end of this film, than I did during the Sarah McLachlan Jesse montage.
Oh my gosh!
Two.
Hello, when she sings that song, you're
it's
just weeping,
so
aren't
sad.
You? I know. I totally agree.
You don't like to cry at movies too, either.
It's that
do you,
Randy Cole? Newman music. He rocks the world, doesn't he? Seriously.
Yeah.
So he's amazing.
Now,
so we okay.
You're
so
watching
we saw
that a lot.
We saw the Shrek 4, which was 5 billion times better than Shrek 3, which I won't allow.
That's
in my
not
home.
Saying a whole lot.
I know exactly. what else did we see? Oh, How to Train Your Dragon. Did you see that?
Yes, we enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, we did too.
In 2D
I'm sorry,
and 3D.
I'll hold that for you as kids.
Hey, you're not the first. You won't be the last. Now I say is with the 3-year-old. This is something you have to watch every day.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when Emma was 3 and 2, she at least had the mercy to let us alternate between Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo.
Yeah, we're doing Monsters vs. Aliens and How to Train Your Dragon right now. It's one of the other ones.
I think Monsters
vs.
Aliens is underappreciated because
as a
grown-up, you can pick out all the homages, all the stuff from the 50s.
Kiefer Sutherland is hysterical.
And it's about time. That dude needs to be a wacky dad real soon.
I totally agree.
I'm really happy that 24 is over for him and he doesn't have to scream at people, but
right.
He needs to be in a sitcom with a wacky dad and let Donald be the wacky grandfather. Seriously. Well, no, there was an article, I think it was Paul Rudnick, back when he was at Libby Gaxman-Wexler in Premiere Magazine, and she'd written that Full House should really star Bruce Dern, Christopher Walken, and James Woods.
Oh.
And you know, if you're going to have them in Full House, then make Kiefer Sutherland a wacky dad, because he really needs
no
it.
No kidding.
You know, the fact that one of my favorite moments is Bob throwing his brain around like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape.
No.
So little bitty touches like that.
Right.
I really enjoyed. So no, it's okay if you've seen nothing but kid films.
Yeah.
Now, when was the last time both kids fell asleep and you and Michael were able to watch something together?
Yeah, what was the last grown-up movie we watched?
And thank you for saying grown-up and not adult, because that's a whole other program.
That's a whole other, yeah, exactly. Well, here's the deal. We go through, you know, spurts, just like everybody else, I'm sure. And when I'm preparing for a show, I don't read books and I don't watch movies because I'm busy.
Right.
But, so it's been so long since we've seen them. A grown-up movie.
Want to text him and find out.
What was the last movie we watched? It was good. And we were really in a good groove of seeing good movies. Like
on a good streak.
The Education. It was excellent. Mm-hmm. Some good. I find more. I know we're running out of time.
No, but I find
more and more movies lately. The scripts are so bad. So bad. Wonderful actors, beautiful cinematography, great director, but the script is just like really,
really.
So a few of them, you know, The Hurt Locker and last year's movies. Mm-hmm. We were catching up on all of those wonderful movies.
Sure,
but
well,
yeah,
and this is where people ask me if it's been a good year for movie or a bad year for movie. I mean, a lot of people are going to say this past summer was pretty weak, and I will agree. Mm-hmm. For me. I always say there's always Rembrandts and there's always dogs playing poker. And
sure.
if the Rembrandts aren't at the multiplex, then you got to look for them.
Yes.
And you know, you just have to maybe make the trip, go to the north side,
right.
Or find them at Netflix or what have you.
Right.
So.
Sometimes you just have to wait for them to come out if you can't get up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So keep looking. So long as I have a top 10 and a bottom 10 and an honorable mention and a dishonorable mention. Film year is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got a little bit of time, and I want to pay salute to a couple of working actors who passed away recently. You know, didn't make $20 million a picture, but they worked, and that's really what it's all about. Alfie. James MacArthur, for you Hawaii Five-0
mm-hmm.
fans, the original Dano. That's not Scott Kahn.
I like Scott Kahn.
That's fine. You can be him in Ocean's 11. Oh, no, you're Casey Affleck in Ocean's 11. But this is something I didn't know, was adopted as an infant by Charles MacArthur and Helen Hayes.
Get out, really?
Yeah, did not know that. So, of course, played Dano for 11 seasons. I forgot, Hawaii Five-0 was on for 12 seasons.
Wow.
That's a lot of Jack Lord.
Hello, no kidding.
Seriously, I would have thought,
I mean, what else
five,
has
six
outrun
years.
That? Law and Order, that's about
well,
it, right?
But I mean, also for 30 years. I think for as far as 70s programming, and of course on CBS, I think when you think of CBS, you think of all the great comedies that were out at that decade. But yeah, that's a whole...
It's
wow.
a long time.
He also played the preacher in Hang 'Em High, The Battle of the Bulge, The Bedford Incident with Sidney Poitier. Yeah, Battle of the Bulge with Henry Fonda and Robert Ryan. Spencer's Mountain. I forgot he played the oldest son in that with Henry Fonda and Maureen O'Hara.
Ooh.
Swiss Family Robinson,
oh
the
gosh.
Original from 1960. We saw them in syndication.
Yeah,
and
right.
The Young Stranger with that was one of the early films of John Frankenheimer and also starred one of our faves, Kim Hunter, and also did the 1960 version of Kidnap. Also, actress Lisa Blount, who died at the, 53?
Ooh, oof. That's so young.
But became known, she got a Golden Globe nomination in 1982. She was Deborah Winger's best friend in An Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, my
that
gosh,
lady.
Of
yeah.
course.
Other titles include September 30th, 1955, which was the Richard Thomas film about the death of James Dean. She was in Cease Fire with Don Johnson, Night Flyers, Prince of Darkness, the John Carpenter film, played Lois Brown in Great Balls of Fire with Dennis Quaid, and was the woman in the blind sword fighting film Blind Fury with Rutger Hauer.
Oh, my.
Yeah, oh, my indeed. And, of course, Box of Moonlight. So salute to the two of you for all of your work on TV and movies. All right, Kobe. You know you want to play it. Let's
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
He worked very hard on that.
Obviously.
Now, it's 2 days before Halloween.
Yep.
And those who are a regular listener to the segment knows Mr. Slagle does not like to be scared.
Nope.
So disappointing. Well,
I don't understand. Okay, I don't understand this. Why would you voluntarily want to be scared?
Do you ride a roller coaster?
Yes.
There you go. It's that rush. It's that.
I don't get that. Like, I just get petrified. Know, okay, here's. Okay, this is how bad it is. Remember the movie Signs?
Yes.
Okay, I was in eighth grade when that came out.
Thanks.
And yeah, welcome. I was in eighth grade when that came out.
I reviewed that.
Saw
film
that.
On Fox.
I was horrified for like 2 weeks.
Really? Because
oh yeah.
It's okay though, isn't it? That
no,
ooh,
it's not
that.
Okay.
Oh, all right. I'm
you weren't
sorry.
Able to sleep.
No. Oh.
So
no, no,
was
no,
that
no.
was that the last?
I was
year?
Checking. I was checking closets for aliens.
Mel
like
Gibson.
In the scene.
Were you checking for Mel? and Joaquin Phoenix.
Like, you know the scene in the basement where, like, it's all dark and they shine the light on and there's the arm coming through
sure,
the...
Sure, sure.
Oh, my... Yeah, nope.
Okay.
So have you ever
nope.
even seen, like, Nightmare on Elm Street
nope,
and all
not
those?
Seen that? I've seen The Shining.
The original Shining.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Psycho.
Not seen Psycho.
Have you really? Seen any of those Alfred Hitchcock
stuff? I saw The Birds.
Really?
You
saw
birds. The Birds.
Saw The Birds.
Okay, The Birds
that's
freaked
bad.
Me out.
So, yeah. And it's a little weird, but...
Those little birds on your... Ugh.
Yeah, I do like that. One of my favorite directing tales is that Tippi Hedren is telling the story of it's the scene where she's supposed to go up the stairs
yes.
into the attic, and she's just frustrated and she doesn't quite understand. So finally, she goes to Alfred Hitchcock and she goes, "Mr. Hitchcock, I don't get this. Why would my character go up the stairs and open the thing?" And he said, "Because I told you to." Thank you.
That's your motivation.
That's your motivation because
I
said so. Yeah, I like Tippi Hedren too, but
yeah.
I might have to. Show Psycho to you.
Yeah, it's good.
It's 50 years, and it'll pack a punch. Shower before you see it.
Okay, so what are you watching?
Well, I decided
last
to be...
Week.
I decided... Well, last week you watched Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
Ooh, that's scary.
That's not scary. That's more... It's
disturbing.
Not yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But. Marlon Brando is scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dennis Hopper is himself.
Very scary.
Now, did you get to the documentary?
No, I did not.
You gotta get to that.
Yeah.
Hearts of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, no, I've not seen it either.
Oh, my goodness. Not only is it one of my favorite documentaries of all time, but it is one of the best films about filmmaking.
Ooh, really?
So, and give it up to Mrs. Coppola for filming this. Could you imagine your spouse filming you while you're at work? Now,
no,
granted it was a film that they did in the Philippines for 2 years,
but still.
So, yeah. All right, so, Kobe, I thought I'll be a nice guy. I'll do something a little different, although, you know, we will have to... Like a parent saying, which we will have to visit this again on a much later date. But the original Shaft,
yeah,
starring Richard Roundtree and Foxy Brown.
Oh, man.
Enjoy those, sir.
I think those are Matthew Soucy's favorite movies, because I swear to God, the last time I was here,
did we talk about blaxploitation?
You had those two. I think you maybe like, carry them around.
Just my security blanket.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Lucy. Give me my movies. So there you go. That's that. Now, of course,
sweet.
Yeah, Shaft is the one that really. That's when the studios found out, hey, we can make money off black people music, movies, and music. So they did that. And Pam had already done a few films, like some of the women in prison movies that were shot in the Philippines, The Big Birdcage, The Big Dollhouse. I'm getting nothing from Jolene. I know she knows nothing about these. And then there was, of course, Black Mama, White Mama, which Pam still defines was the female version of the Defiant Ones.
Really?
Yes, really.
Oh.
I don't remember Tony Curtis and Sidney Poitier. But there is a documentary. I have to find it and also inflict this on you. But there was a film that came out last year called... It was about Australian exploitation cinema.
Really?
Yeah, this was before Mad Max, but it was all just kind of like bizarre, you know, really kind of just cheap B movies that got some crossover, and people like Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez really enjoyed those films. Well, there was a number of those films also shot in the Philippines, and a lot of them were horror movies and women in prison movies. Mm-hmm. I found one that was shot in the Philippines. And it was a horror movie starring Tom Selleck from 1972.
Oh my gosh!
Where he buys a painting and his wife, and it's a witch burning, and the woman being burned at the stake looks a lot like his wife.
Oh.
And okay, Q Theremin and all that other stuff that happened. So it's one of those. So anyway, I'll inflict Filipino horror and exploitation films on you later. But right now, you have fine American blaxploitation.
That's right.
Enjoy that.
That's right.
So there you go.
Cool.
Now, did I tell you the Pam Grier story?
I don't think you did.
Oh, you're going to love this. This just reeks me.
Okay.
In 1998, I got an interview with Pam Grier. I got to be at a press conference she did for the Chicago Film Festival. Mm-hmm. It was right after Jackie Brown, and she got a Career Achievement Award, and I was in the photo pit. Mm. I was living up there at the time. I was dating my now wife, and I informed her, this is going to be monumental, and I might not be coming back.
Right.
And she said, I understand, because she's Lynn. And we get to the photo pit, and it's, you know, kind of inside the actor studio. This gentleman from L.A. was interviewing her, and she comes out stunning, just in a great little black dress with little spaghetti string straps. And they put the little mic clip on, and it kind of turned over like that. Like it was too heavy. And I accidentally blurted out I didn't think I had any snark, but I just went, do you need help with that? And she picked up the microphone and said, this young man wants to know if I need any help. And she points beyond me and says, ask my boyfriend.
Oh.
And I turn around, this tall guy just kind of waves, and then I wave, and I just slink back into the photo pit. Next day, she's at a symposium on black cinema, and I'm there as well. And afterwards, I was able to meet her, and it was like the kid going next door to admit he broke the window.
Really?
I was the one who needed. He asked you if you needed help. I'm sorry. And she laughed
Did
at
she?
Me. It's one thing to meet somebody you fantasize about, but to have that source laughing at you, not with you, at you. And I called my now wife and said, I'm back. And she's like, I know. So, yeah.
She's a little out of your league.
Little bit.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah.
But I showed Lynn Jackie Brown, so that's about as close as it gets. Mm-hmm. Now, if I can get that book, if I can get her autobiography and get in touch with the publisher, and hopefully I'm not on a list, we'll work on that. You can't be in the studio if I do that interview. If it's a recorded interview, Kobe, you're gonna sound like the Chris Farley Show. I sound like the Chris Farley Show.
Right.
You remember when you were in Foxy Brown?
That was cool.
That was awesome. And you shot that guy and hit that girl. That was awesome. All right, Kitchen Witches, speaking of Foxy, is going to be at Theater on the Square tonight, tomorrow, Sunday afternoon, and it's running through Thursday, November 13th.
Saturday.
Jolene, thank you so much for hanging out again.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here again. We'll make this a regular event.
Okay.
Some words to live by, Kobe.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Yeah, go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.